How many of you know that it's nothing too hard for Him? How many are glad to just be here with your brothers and sisters in the Lord? I'll tell you what, before this year is over, you're going to see a unity. I'm not talking about there's a division, but I'm talking about a unity in the Spirit. It's going to bring some things in that we've been waiting for a long time. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, the greatest thing that we labor for is presence. Just like when Deanne was saying, we're not seeking revival, we're seeking the one that brings revival. And the greatest thing that I desire as one of the pastors and as one of the elders, and there's many of you that are holding up that bloodstained banner in this place, but because I know I'm not doing it on my own, but as I desire Christ, I desire that whoever comes into this house and whoever is around you on the streets of Immokalee or Fort Myers or Lehi or Alva or Naples or wherever you live, that a moment in your presence, they'll walk away and say, they may not know how to say it this way, but if they knew, they'd say, I took notice that woman, that man has been with Jesus. Hallelujah. So my greatest desire is that when I have an encounter with you or with somebody else, is that they feel the presence of God. They don't feel it. They don't hear it through speech. You know, speech is one thing. Words are a lot of things. But you ever heard somebody just spouting out the word, just spouting it out, and it felt like ice water? It's like, man, I didn't know the word could be that dead. You know why? Because they're not having a love affair with that word. That's learned knowledge. That's just knowledge. But when you have an intimacy with the Word of God and you fellowship with it, it becomes a lover to you. It becomes, and I hope that in this year you have chosen, or at least you're anticipating to choose and ask the Holy Spirit what pastures to lead you in. And I'll clarify that. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. See, it's not Bronc Flint. The Lord is your shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. The pastures that I'm talking about is the rod and the staff. They comfort me. That shepherd with the rod and staff, the word comes to you and he lays you down, or he calls you to encamp in certain pastures of his word. You're not going to grow. You're not going to grow nearly as fast and as nearly as much as you would like to unless you go to his word this year and find some places just to camp out. And let me tell you something. Just you go into his word and picking it up, it's noble. Thank God for it. It's better than not picking it up. But just go into it and reading here one day and reading there one day and reading there, that's not going to be. He said he'll lay you down in a pasture and you'll eat in that pasture. And that pasture will feed you and you will be like camped beside rivers. You know what the rivers are? Rivers are truths of his word that continually feed your born-again spirit and feed your experience. And the more you stay in that pasture, the more you stay in a book, one particular book or two particular books maybe, and you feed there and you eat there, the essence of that book and the mysteries of that book will begin to nurture your spirit. See, the worst thing that you can do, the most dangerous, one of the dangerous things that you can do, and I know we've all been taught like this in the past, so this is not an indictment against any of us, and myself included, but understanding how revelation knowledge works. How many of you would like to be filled with more revelation knowledge than you've ever had in this next year? Understanding how revelation knowledge works, I understand how you must prepare yourself for revelation knowledge. This word is not going to jump out at you and fill you with revelation with something you have not already read. He's not going to come to any of you and give you some mystery out of this word, even by praying in tongues, that's not already here. It's already here. And so what the Holy Spirit expects all of us to do is to become engulfed in the pages of this word and to camp out in the word and to find a place, even if it's a meager place, if it sounds like this is a meager place, I don't spend but 10 minutes a day there. You would be better off spending 10 minutes a day in one particular book than spending 6 hours on a Saturday conventionally studying the Word of God. And when I say conventionally, I'm talking about not the study that Paul told Timothy to study. It's a study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. That word rightly dividing is the word to cut a straight line. And the only way that you can cut a straight line is that you have to know the context of wherever you're camped out at. And you never, here's the first rule. We've said this many times, and the Holy Spirit just wants to go over some of this foundation stuff with you this morning. The first rule of meditation, the first rule of getting any real revelation out of the Word of God, is to stay there so long in a book that you know where every subject in that book starts and stops, so that you take nothing out of context. And most of the epistles, those short epistles, most of them are really just one thought. They're really one thought that's built line on line on line. And what I started to say a little bit ago, one of the most dangerous things that you can do is to do a word study if you don't know what you're doing. Because you go here, and then you go, okay, let's look up this. You go there, and you go, that is not Psalms 1. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who meditates. Meditates. You know what the word meditates means? It means to ponder. It means even it has the connotation to mutter. Mutter means to mumble. You ever heard anybody going around mumbling? What they're mumbling or muttering is they've been so long in a particular encampment that it begins to grow on them. It begins to be a part of their life. Here's how true teaching of the Word of God, how true meditation, how it becomes a part of you. And the dangerous part is when you go here and you go there and you pull a scripture and you say, well, I like that scripture. If you've not camped out in that scripture, if you've not camped out in it long enough, you may not be qualified to comment on it. Because it usually takes a period of time for that thing to polarize in your spirit. And the more you spend time in it, you'll begin to say, my God, you know, isn't it sweet when the Holy Spirit gives you revelation after revelation after revelation? The Word says that He takes us from glory to glory. So what we thought we knew yesterday, tomorrow we'll look back and say, well, I did know something, but that was only the beginning stages of that revelation. That was only the perimeter of it. That was only the threshold of it. Here's the core of it. Here's the core of it. And Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man or woman who meditates in the Word of God. Who meditates. And meditation is a thing where the Holy Spirit begins to take your born-again spirit and impregnate it with the wisdom of God. How does that work? Well, we've talked about this before. Jesus, who is the greatest of all teachers, the prototype, when He taught, most of the time, most people don't understand. If they go and just read His parables, they don't understand His teachings too well until they get in them and begin to really let the Holy Spirit open up the mysteries in there. And the reason being is they don't understand that He was a masterful teacher. And that like Pastor Dave has used this example, and it's hard to improve on, getting into Scripture. And let's say getting into a book like we often mention, 1 John, those five chapters have a tremendous mystery that's engulfed in them. When you begin to read those chapters initially, certain things will begin to stand out to you. And you may love certain scriptures, but do yourself a favor. Unless you have become adequately acquainted and you're having a love affair with those scriptures, and I'm talking about a love affair like, you know when the Holy Spirit takes you someplace, the Holy Spirit, how many of you believe the Holy Spirit loves this entire word? He wrote it. How many of you think He loves it? Okay. But did you know that for your benefit and for where God wants to take you and for all of the emotional things that you need, all the financial things, we serve a living Lord. Did you know what that? A living Lord. He didn't just give us the scripture and leave and say, okay, fend for yourself. He gave us the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost will give us a subscription to the part that is going to pertain to us in the days ahead and will nurture our spirit. So it's so important that you activate this relationship and trust Him to take you to the places, because I don't know how many of you had this experience, but a lot of times I'll open up the Word and try to get into a particular book, and it's like, man, I know my heart wants to do what God wants, but there's just no interest in that book. It's like pouring cold water on something warm and wonderful. But when I keep praying in the Holy Ghost and God says, get in that book, get there, guess what? It feels like a glove fitting on the right hand. It's not the left-handed glove putting on the right hand. It's the right place at the right time. I also know this. Once He introduces a book to me, let's say, for instance, like 1 John, I stay there until that anointing gets off. I stay there reading it multiple times, 40, 50, 60, 70, 100 times. You, somebody say, well, what about all the rest of the Word of God? He's saying that's the nutrients of your born-again spirit that needs to be fed right now. There's something in that that's going to help you to escape evil. This is the vitamin C that you need to take for your spirit. So you stay there. You stay there. And like I was going to say, Dave said, this is, and it, we can all understand this. The mysteries that are contained in any book, it's like an artist that is writing or an artist that is painting. When you go by the artist at the mall or on the streets of Gatlinburg or someplace that you're walking down, you're seeing somebody paint something. I can't draw a stick man, so don't watch me. But I know that even when that is kind of obscure, I'm looking at this guy and I'm saying, where'd he go to art school at? The beginning part of it is like, I don't know what he's trying to create here. But I know that if I continue to watch him, I just mesmerize. People get mesmerized watching an artist unfold, because every stroke of the brush brings in something that polarizes that image in front of you as you watch it. And by the time it's over with, you're looking at it, how did you, to me, as somebody that can't draw a stick man real good, I'm saying, how in God's name did you do that? That's amazing. He had that image on the inside of him and he transferred it over to paper. And I'm like, you know, I watch Candy. Candy and I, when we go out, Candy, she takes the crayons at Macaroni Grill, the kids' crayons, and she draws, colors these beautiful pictures, and I'm like, man, I wish I could do that. And she's taking crayons from the little kids. But no, she doesn't. When you get into a book and you read it, the things that you thought you knew and were going to comment on and say, hey, I can tell you what this means. When you read it 40, 50, 60, 70 times, it's like the artist painting. And after a while, the polarization, the understanding, not only just the understanding of Revelation, what it means to you begins to polarize. It becomes something for you to understand. And so the Holy Spirit just taking this time out this morning to say, get into this. But don't do word studies, please. It's okay, it's not illegal, because there's no law here. But I'm telling you, if you want to grow, get into a pasture and camp there until the Holy Spirit says, okay, get up and move from this camp. Get up and move to the next. Only by that can you begin. Now, here's how you do it. You read through it. Even if you were taught something, I mean, some of you, I mean, a lot of you are far enough along that not you don't have to throw out all your doctrine. But I'm saying is, when the Holy Spirit takes you to a place, let's say like 1 John or James or Ephesians or Philippians, Colossians, any of those, Galatians. Galatians is just a, it's just an abbreviated, kind of an abbreviated book of Romans. Romans is, how many, 13 chapters, something like that? Galatians, 16? 16 chapters, Galatians is 6. So you get an abbreviated kind of book of Romans. You get in there and you begin to read. Acknowledge, obviously you're not oblivious to what you're reading. Acknowledge with your mind what you're reading, but don't necessarily try to interpret. Because the moment you try to start interpreting, you're hedging yourself against what the Holy Spirit's really trying to get across to you. And you'll still get it, but instead of, you know, it'll be like when you read it 30, 40, 50, what happens is the things that you thought you knew about chapter 1, verse 6, by the time you get to 40 or 50 readings, the polarization takes place and you say, my God, this is more wonderful than I ever thought. But the Holy Spirit, like a master artist, keeps drawing and keeps painting until your spirit becomes so, you're encamped there. This is where you're encamped at. It's your green grass to roll around in, to eat on. It'll feed you. Hallelujah. How many think you're going to get into the Word of God more in this year? Hallelujah. Camp in places. Stay in places. Let them begin to be a part of your whole life. So much so that when you meet with somebody, that's all you're talking about. Eventually, after you've read one, you read 1 John 100 times, you say 100 times in one sitting? No. One or two times a day, I think it takes about 15 minutes to read through, 10, 15 minutes. You read through it. You know what will happen? Things will start happening to you. This is how revelation knowledge. Once you assimilate it and begin to meditate it, then certain things will happen. As Psalms 1 says, blessed is he who day and night, meditates the Word of God. You can't, if you're a working man or a working woman, you can't keep your nose in this day and night. You can't. What you do is that you bring yourself to the conclusion of day and night meditation when you prepare your ground and you're camping and you're eating in one place and you're saturating yourself. Then at unexpected times, the Holy Spirit, because your spirit is alive and it doesn't sleep necessarily. Day and night, your spirit is being fed. It's being fed. All these scriptures, 1 John, 5 chapters, over and over and over again. The other day, I went out on the swing with Candy, and there's been a scripture in John chapter 15. You know where Jesus is about to go to the cross, and he's with his disciples in the upper room, and he's praying, and he's talking to them about the vine and how that we that he is, you know, that he's the vine, we're the branches, and we must abide in him to bear fruit, and every branch in him that does not abide in him is going to be cut off and withered, and men will come and gather those. And for years I was thinking, God, what is that? You know, man, I'm just like you. I'm just trying to get this myself. And I'll be reading these things. And I sat down, and when I read that part, because for years I had been asking God, or in my spirit had been pondering, what do men have to do with gathering the branches? And it says men, the ones, those branches that don't stay in the Lord, he gathers them up, men gather them up, and they're burned. And I thought, what does men have to do with it? And see, some of you say, well, I didn't ever. You know what? The more you go into his word, the more you'll ask questions. And you'll get so interested, you'll say, I want to know what every. How many of you know if he wrote it, he wants us to understand it? It's not supposed to be like, well, that'll be revealed by and by. I can't wait till the days that the book of Revelation is more. To me, that's all a mystery right now. And I am not telling you that I'm ready to go there, because he has not told me to pick up camp. And you may know what all those seals are. And all this, but listen, if you come to me with your revelation and you're going to give me something I got to really chew on, unless you've told me, look, I have read this whole book, because listen, if you take, this is what word studies will do for you. And that you, it's no law here. You can do a word study, but it's dangerous. Every book, the seed is in itself. It's in itself. Meaning, you really don't have to. Thank God for commentaries if it's a good commentary. But what if there were no commentaries in the world? Do you think God wrote this book so it couldn't be understood unless other men came and told you what it meant? My God. The Holy Spirit wrote this book so that if you got into it, you would need no other commentary necessary. I like historical commentaries because they kind of help me. They give me a little hint about where I'm going. That's wonderful. But did you know that if there were no commentaries, you could understand every single thing that the apostle wanted you to understand? Every single thing. And so I'm telling you, the seed is in itself, meaning all the meaning to interpreting every scripture is in every book. But when you do a word study, what you do is you break the seed away from its implantment if you don't watch it. Now, you may know, if you go there and you already know that you've read through that and you've spent enough time in that that you can comment, then you're qualified. You're qualified to comment or you're qualified to give. But if you go to somebody and give them your rendition of what you believe that scripture, please make sure that you know that you spent enough time in that book to know where that subject matter starts and where it ends. Because most of the parables of Jesus are not just single parables. They have all one single thought and they trail right into another. And I was reading in John the other day, and like I said, and I got to that part about the men gathering these sticks, and I said, my God! It was just like I sit down, it's like, my God, Candy, I got it. I got it. I mean, I was thinking, you know, now wait a minute. God, angels are not, I know angels, he said in the end of the world, the angels would come and sever the unrighteous from the righteous, and they would be used in the judgment. But what did men have to do with gathering up all these sticks and throwing them into a fire and burning them? And it just, boom, just like that, after all those years, it just, why? Because I've spent hours and hours and hours in John. And it was so wonderful. And I knew immediately what it was that, Pastor. Well, I'm not telling you right now. That's another. I wouldn't want you to not be able to get it for yourself. That's the meanest thing ever, isn't it? No, it wouldn't even go with what we're saying right now. I didn't really intend on that. No, it's pretty simple when you understand what Jesus had been fighting the Pharisees. And he told them, look, I am the vine. And I've come. I am that son. You remember the parables of the rich man that would send, that bought a vineyard. He bought a vineyard and he leased it out to husbandry. And he said, okay, I'm going away into a far country. And then I'm at the appointed time when the vine is ripe and ready to be harvested, I'm going to send. And so Jesus, you've got a whole string of those parables, but he's telling them what it was when he said at the appointed time, this rich man sent his servants, and the ones that he was sending it to was the house of Israel, and he was sending it to the Levitical priesthood. He was sending it to the Levitical priesthood and to the Pharisees and all those who were being charge of the teachings of the day. They were in charge of all of everything, the religious order of the day. And he said, some they mocked and some they scourged and some they threw out of the vineyard. And he said, at the last, The owner of the vineyard said, I'm going to send my son. They'll reverence him. And he said, what did they do with him? He said, what they did with him was this. They said, this is the heir. If we kill him, we'll have it all. And we know by reading all that, that Jesus was talking right to the Pharisees. He was talking right to the religious order of the day. And he said, this vineyard will be taken from you and given to another. It's going to be given to another. And they said, God forbid. He said, no, it's going to be given. This vineyard's being taken from you because you've rejected all my prophets. And last of all, he sent his own son, which was him. And you're going to kill him too. This vineyard's being taken from you. Well, when he got through teaching that, he went on to teach his disciples, look, I am the vine. You're the branches. You cannot bear fruit except you abide in me. Meaning this, once I'm gone, you cannot go back under the religious order of the day. You can't go back under Judaism. You can't go back under the law. The hardest, if you read the Gospels, the hardest thing that he was trying to bring his disciples out of was the law and out of the teachings of legalism and the things that the Pharisees had brought about through perverting the law and teaching the traditions of man. And he was saying, look, I am the vine. You boys got to stay in me. I'm leaving soon, but you've got to stay in me. And every branch in me that stays in me will bear fruit. But I'm telling you, these other guys have been cut off. They're withered away. They're not going to make it. You can't stay under the law and make it anymore. You have to remain in me. And he said, every branch in me that does not remain in me, every branch in me that stays under this old way, the Mosaic way, it will wither and men will gather them. And he was saying, the men who teach the new will take the doctrines of the old, gather them up, and they will burn away with the doctrines of the new, because he's saying you cannot stay under the old law. You cannot stay under the old doctrine. You have to stay in me. And you that are called as apostles and everybody else that will follow you in the future and will teach the truth, what you'll be doing is you'll be destroying the old because you cannot stay under it anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what does men have? Oh, as a teacher of His Word, I'm part of it. Hallelujah. You're part of it. Glory to God. We didn't intend to go there, but how many enjoy that? Amen. That's just through meditation. You don't get that by doing word studies. You have to understand, you have to read all through John and understand what kind of vine was there. And that vine was being destroyed. It was being withered. And what did men have to do with it? He's saying, men, you men that are teachers of truth, you'll take these things because they're withered. You'll teach the new. They have to be destroyed. Hallelujah. How many of you believe you'll stay in the Word this year a little bit more? My, thank you, Father. Lift your hands for just a moment. I worship you. I praise and magnify you. I glorify you. I thank you for the anointing in this day. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Mando kerese de kereste te. Balaboku kerese ne. Well, there was an anointing that came at the beginning of service. A lot of you have slipped in under and you won't even know the benefits of it until it really begins to affect your world. Hallelujah. How many of you had a good day? Somebody bring up. I know that you would not have enjoyed the day. And some of you might want to whip me. And you probably could right now. Except that Gerald's going to stand beside me. Help me. I got my other brother-in-law here today, so he'll help me. But you want an opportunity to give, don't you? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Bob and Callie. How many of you want to? Hallelujah. Would you just worship Him for the opportunity to give this morning? Thank you, Father. We didn't even get to where I wanted to get to, but we had a good time, didn't we? Hallelujah.
So why don't you ask Him what He'd have you to give and be a big part of God speaking to your life right now. Father, I love You and I worship You. I exalt You. I worship You. I bless You. I give You all the glory and praise and honor for this day and for all that You're doing in this body. For none of us trying to build our own work here, but Lord, it's Your work. So I thank You for the grace of God. Speak to our hearts now. And Lord, we prophesy to the abundance over these people's lives. Lord, we're just approaching You on the same basis that, like Deanne was saying this morning, we're not approaching You for Your provision. That's subsequential. That's beside the matter. We're approaching You because You're our Father. And we have an inheritance with You. So we're not following You because of the loaves and fishes. We're following You because You're our Daddy. And so because of it right now, because You are our Daddy, we can thank You, Lord, that You not only get involved in this. This is what we give You out of that love. But we simply can just say, Father, You're our Father. So this week, open up new horizons, job opportunities, raises. It doesn't matter. I don't care what the economy of Florida has predicted. In Jesus' name, we prophesied to it right now. And it's a spiritual thing, you know. It's a spiritual thing. And we say to that devil of poverty and lack, in the name of Jesus, we command it to release itself off of God's people through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we use our authority in Jesus' name. And we call in the abundance. We have more than enough, Father. More than enough. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. All right. If you're ready, why don't you just stand? We had a good day. Good time.